You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. Apparently, somebody is listening out there. A week ago, I believe, I had a story on immigration, and I reviewed what candidate Trump was proposing. Now, most Americans remember the big, beautiful wall. I'm going to build a big, beautiful wall with a door in it. But that was part one. Now, he hasn't done that at all. I need to be fair. Let me correct that. He learned rather early in his administration that a wall is not the best barrier to have, because then a wall is usually solid and you can't see what's on the other side. So he does learn and listens to people that have to patrol the U.S. border. The U.S. Border Patrol has to do it. And they were the ones that telling him a wall is just simply not a good idea. What we need to do is know what's on the other side, what's happening. So you got to have space in it to see what's happening, because you don't want to be ambushed. You don't want to be killed or surprised. And that's sort of common sense. Trump learned and said, okay. And there was a contest to come up with various prototypes. And he has announced in the past, about a month ago, that by the end of 2020, there'll be approximately 500 miles of additional border barrier, fence, wall, whatever you want to call it. That's good, because that's twice as much, more than twice as much, in terms of the 350 miles of a human fence that we have now. So part one of the promise was to build a wall, what I prefer to call a border barrier, because I think you need some flexibility. Depending on where you are, you can have different types of barriers. But the ultimate purpose of a barrier is just to slow down the illegals, because they're going to go over it, under it, through it, around it, any way they can to get in the United States. And that's what they've been doing, really, since Ronald Reagan walked across the aisle and had a bipartisan bill to give citizenship to all the illegals that were in the United States then. And that was in 1986. And what happened was 2.7 million illegals got citizenship. But we were supposed to secure the border, and we didn't secure the border, only partially. And most of these fences are, yes, on the California-Mexican border. There's some in other places, don't get me wrong. But the border's 2,000 miles long in Texas. I'm in Dallas, Texas, far north of the border. But Texas, there's over 1,200 miles of border, and it's the dividing line is not a line, it's a river, it's the Rio Grande River, and then, yeah, it does change course, it does flow. Sometimes it's very deep, sometimes there's no water in it, and sometimes there's very little water in it. So you got to keep in mind that the border with Mexico is approximately 2,000 miles. Some of it is in very remote terrain, where you would have to have to climb down a cliff if you're coming from Mexico, climb down a cliff, about a 1,000-foot cliff, cross the Rio Grande River, climb up another cliff, and then you're in the middle of nowhere. Roads are 30, 40, 50, 60 miles away. So that's not the best place to break into the country. But there is some wilderness area that, quite frankly, it doesn't make sense to have a border barrier because very few, if any, people are going to try to cross over there. But that still leaves over 1,800 miles that you need to have a barrier for, and you only have roughly 350. You need, in my calculations, you need new border barrier of about 1,500 miles. And if Trump is right and they build 500 miles by the end of next year, that's about one-third of what you need. But it's double, more than double what we have. And I know that Trump will say, you know, give me another 4 years and I'll complete the border barrier, something to that. And he's obviously going to need to prove that there's 500 miles of additional border barrier, and he'll probably have a video. Well, all that is good. And I've gone over that several times. And I'm not trying not to beat it to death, but two important points. People are flying into the United States every day, legally, with their passports and their visa, and they're overstaying their visas. They come here as students, businessmen, tourists. They like it here, decide, I'm not going to go home. I'm going to settle here. I'm going to try to find a job. How do they do it? They buy fraudulent, false documents, because when they go for a job, the employer asks them for some identification, social security card, driver's license, passport, and they keep that in the file. Doesn't mean they're checking all this out. And that's how people live and work in the United States for many, many years. And they're never, you know, if they're law-abiding, hold down a job, and are willing to accept the wages that the employer is providing, they stay here. Now, this has been going on for over 33 years. So even at $1 million a year, that's 33 million. But how many are here? No one really knows. That's the number that it's interesting. You always hear 11 or 12 million. Democrats say it, so do Republicans. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not the case. We have apprehension statistics. These are the people that they actually get their hands on. They catch them. And those numbers fluctuate quite a bit. They've been as high as 1.6 million. But if you ask the people that are arresting these people, well, how many people get away for every one you catch or apprehend, detain, however you want to describe it, arrest, how many get away? They'll say a minimum of 2 to 3, because they usually come in groups. And when the U.S. Border Patrol vehicle approaches them, at least in the past, maybe not now, because a lot of them are trying to get in the country saying they fear for their lives and they want asylum, when they know they're really coming here to get a job. Anyway, they flee in all directions in the past. So a minimum of 2 to 3. So you need to multiply the apprehension statistics by at least 2 or 3. Now, some of them will return home. And my ballpark figure, probably 1 out of 3 does. So you have at least 2 that get away and stay here, which means over the years, somewhere between 30 and 60 million people are here, living, working, and their children are in your schools. They're going to the emergency rooms of hospitals. If they get in trouble, they go to a jail or prison, and many of them get welfare. It's costing the American people on the federal level over $100 billion a year, and then that does not count state and local taxes that go to provide the various services that illegal aliens have. Now, I'm giving you this background because what is the real problem? And when candidate Trump was running for president, he said that all the illegal aliens need to go home. Otherwise, we'll enforce the law and immigration law and deport and remove them. Now, he also added one thing that I don't agree with at all. They can come back here legally once they're deported. Well, American people don't want that. The problem is we have too many illegals in this country. And please don't tell me, well, what are we going to do if they can't do their jobs? Well, ladies and gentlemen, you might not know it, but there's somewhere between 20 and 30 million American citizens that need jobs, full-time permanent jobs. And I know some of your employers will say, well, we'd have to pay them more money. Damn right you're going to have to pay them more money. And that's the problem. What's the magnet? Why are people coming to the United States? the primary reason to get a job, to have a higher standard of living than in whatever country they're coming from. The majority in the past, at least 80%, are coming from Mexico. The remainder from the rest of the world, a good portion, especially recently, from the so-called Northern Triangle, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. And they are primarily trying to con their way in, and because they're asked questions. You know, in the past, you avoided the U.S. Border Patrol, and that's why they scattered around. The people that are coming with children from these countries are trying to get what's called asylee status. And they can get it by, initially, they tell the U.S. Border Patrol, well, we fear for our life. You know, the gangs or the government is persecuting them, threatening them with violence or death, so they fled their country. Now, technically, they can flee their country, but the first country they come to, and that's Mexico, because they come through the southern border of Mexico, they could and should, by law, seek asylum there. Good luck with that. So this is a racket going on. It's well-organized, well-funded, and it's an invasion, the continuation of the invasion. But what's in the news? Why am I covering this one more time again? Well, finally, Donald Trump, and I think the reason is, guess what? Next year, next November, we have an election coming up, and Donald Trump knows that the news will be asking him, well, Mr. President, when you were running in 2016, you said you were going to deport and remove all the illegal aliens that are here, and whatever the number is, you haven't done it. In other words, that's a promise that you did not keep. And guess what? That's not fake news. That's real news. Now, I know what Donald Trump is going to say. Well, I've deported the criminal illegal aliens. Oh, yes, he has. But ladies and gentlemen, that's under 5% of all the illegals that are here. I think it's around 3%. And even that, I think, is high. And those are the people that have a record, a felony record, either in the country they come from or in the United States. And everybody, or at least most Americans, would say, deport them. We don't want them here. You know, we can send them to prison, but that just costs the American taxpayers more and more money. You know, $50,000, $60,000 to send a year to send them to prison? No, we need to deport and remove the illegal aliens. That should be the first priority. And at least when he got elected, sworn in, initially that's what they were doing. No complaints there, but what the American people have been waiting for, especially people that voted for Trump, is what? When is he going to reverse, roll back that 33-year invasion where somewhere between 30 and 60 million illegal aliens are here? When, Mr. President? You know, at a million a year, it would take 30 years. At 3 million a year, it would take you 10 years. And that's assuming the number's 30 million. If it's double that, double the time period. They haven't really done it. It's a promise made and not kept. And the problem is Trump's supporters. I mean his hardcore Trump supporters. That's why he's president today. And if he wants to get reelected, he better start showing some big numbers of illegal aliens being deported. Not 10,000, not 100,000, a couple of million a year. In other words, get the let out. Expedite this. And that requires, it's not so much the Border Patrol's problem. They're trying to stop the people trying to break in. We have millions of people all over the United States, mainly in about a dozen states and cities. California, Texas is two of them, New York, New Jersey, Washington, Georgia, Florida, and other states. So when is he going to do it? And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Well, when is he going to do it? That was my question. I didn't trust him. I didn't think he was going to do it. I think he was just blowing smoke. He was BSing his own voter base. Now, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. And I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. Would never do that. And I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I have a number of hot button issues. And immigration is one of them. I'm also very much pro-life, pro-gun, or Second Amendment. And yes, I want to keep the Electoral College. But Trump understands the American people are expecting results, and he has been very impressive. He has a fairly long list of accomplishments. But the one area that he simply has not delivered on is stopping the illegal alien invasion and rolling it back. So this is long overdue. But how much in the next roughly, what do we have, a year and a half? Donald Trump has what, 18, 19, 20 months, something like that. that he's still in office under his first term, how many is he going to deport in that period? I would say he has to deport 2 million, maybe 3 million. He's not going to do it. I think they would be hard-pressed to deport a million, maybe even 500,000. Oh, yes, they need their day in court. They break into the... What do? The illegal aliens. I don't care where they're from. I know that most of them, the majority of them, are from Mexico and Central America. That's just a fact. But don't forget that upwards of 40% are coming from all over the world, flying in and then overstaying their visa. Don't forget that part of the problem. And they stay here. They like it here. I understand that. If I came from a country that was, I think President Trump described it as a hellhole, I don't think many people get on a plane and go back to the hellhole, wherever that hellhole is. And I understand they like it here. And I understand many of these people are very hardworking, good people. That's not the point. You're missing the total point. The United States is a nation of laws. And the American people believe that the rule of law applies to everybody. Note I said everybody. The elites don't get an exception, even though they think they should and are entitled to it. But that's another show. What the American people have been expecting is Donald Trump, President Trump, he's in charge to make sure that the government agencies that's under him, he likes to point out the Second Amendment. Well, Mr. President, when are you going to be deporting and removing millions of illegal aliens that are here? And don't believe the 12 million number. It's somewhere between 30 and 60 million. They don't want to talk about that because... If the American people, I mean all the American people, not only the people that are aware that follow this, the American people knew roughly a good estimate of how many illegals are here, they would be irate. They might even have a march to Washington demanding this. Keep that in mind. So Donald Trump has to deliver on this promise. And I don't think he has enough time, quite frankly. I don't think they have enough resources. And guess what? The House of Representatives is controlled by the Democratic Party, and they are not going to give him a penny for the law, and they're certainly not going to give him any money to expedite as many of the illegals that are possible. Ideally, you want the illegal aliens to voluntarily go home. Now, Donald Trump has put them on notice starting next week. We're finally going to enforce immigration law and remove and deport the illegals. It's about time, Mr. President. It's about time. You finally have woken up to the fact, yeah, you can lose a lot of your support if you don't deliver on the border barrier and if you don't deliver on deporting and removing the illegal aliens. You will lose a significant number of your supporters, and that means you're going to lose the election. Conversely, if you at least make a good faith effort on both building the border barrier and deporting as many as you can, and I would say you need to deport at least a million. I would say 2 to 3 million at least to convince your own supporters, and I'm not one of them. I simply don't trust you. In other words, you got to convince me. Now, I'm not going to vote for Democrats, so I most likely right now, if you ask me how am I going to vote, probably stay home just like I did last time. But if you want to win by a landslide or a significant number of both popular vote and electoral college, you need to get the independents. And the independents feel just like I do. The majority of the American people want the illegal alien invasion of this country stopped. Stopped and roll back. That's what you promised to do, and you haven't done it. You haven't built 1,000 miles of a wall. You won't even get halfway. And you really haven't deported and removed the millions of illegal aliens that are here. So that's the leading news story today, that finally the Trump administration is going to start taking action. Now, what was interesting, occasionally I call it Republican radio. If you want to know where the Republican establishment is at, and I mean the D and F Republicans, the rhinos, listen to Hugh Hewitt. Now, he thinks he's right of center. No, he's not. He went after Miller, that's an advisor to Trump on this. He wanted Donald Trump, when the Hollywood Access tape came out, to withdraw and let Mike Pence run. Now, I'm a big supporter of Mike Pence, but I'm not a big fan of Hugh Hewitt. The one thing we do have in common is, yeah, I believe in a strong national defense. But Hewitt was highlighting this news story and saying this is terrible, terrible issue. he's rather clueless as why Donald Trump won. He won primarily on his strong stand on stopping and reversing this invasion. And it is an invasion. And the problem is the Republican establishment, together with the Democrats, don't want to do it. When you hear a Democrat say, I'm for open borders, what he's really saying is, I want to give citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. And that's exactly what they're up to. It's no secret. They have betrayed the American worker, the American citizen. They're more concerned about getting citizenship to all the illegals that are here. And if they succeed in doing that, you can kiss this country goodbye, because that will be the pathway not only for citizenship for all the illegals that are here, and they will if you reward them again, another amnesty, another citizenship for millions of illegals, you're going to have the same problem again and again and again. So Trump needs to take some actions. Now, there's another story that I'll highlight. It seems that the neocons in the United States, including Bolton denies he's a neocon, they're beating the war drums. They've been wanting to go to war with Iran for decades. I'm a non-interventionist. I'm totally against that. The Sunnis and the Shia, the Persians, Iranians are Shia, the Saudis are Arabs, and they're Sunni. They hate each other's guts. And what Iran wants to be is the dominant power, and their route to that is to get nuclear weapons and missiles. So I applaud Trump's canceling of that terrible agreement that Obama put in place, but we do have a rather tense situation. If Iran is foolish enough to attack a U.S. warship or U.S. citizens, Trump will respond accordingly. They better take note. So tensions are up. The neocons are banging the drums in Congress because they've been wanting this war for decades.
We had to cut short the first segment because of a pending program. So I wanted to finish off where I was and then add to where I was going. On immigration, Trump has an incomplete. And what I mean by that, he hasn't built 1,000 miles of the big, beautiful wall with the door in it. At best, he'll have 500 miles built by the end of 2020. He's announced that. But the bigger problem, by far, is the fact that he has not rolled back the invasion that's been going on for 33 years. I'm not blaming Trump for the invasion, but he did promise that he would remove and deport, in other words, enforce existing immigration law. And he said that on a number of occasions. I can actually play clips, and I might do that in a minute, where he made it clear to the people interviewing, they have to go home. They have to go home. Now, ideally, they should do it on their own accord, because they're here illegally. And that's the key thing. And he underlines it. I underline it. We have a legal way to immigrate into the United States, and over 1 million people every single year enter the country legally. And the American people, while they might have some disagreement on the number, I know that, because I think 1 million is too much. I think at most somewhere between 250,000 and 500,000 is more than enough. But we're by far the most generous in terms of just legal immigration. The American people, by overwhelming majorities, favor legal immigration. But they also want the invasion stopped. And that requires a secure border. And the wall is, frankly, just to slow them down. You need a road, a wall, or a border barrier. You need a border patrol, you need surveillance cameras, drones, helicopters to stop them. You need to detain them, or the words they use on the statistic is apprehend them. So keep that in mind, that you're talking about a security system. But that will only stop if it were built. If over those 33 years, we, both Democrats and Republicans, had listened to the demands and really the concerns of the American people, we would have had the border barrier by now. But that's not what the Democratic Party wanted, and frankly, that's not what large campaign contributors to the Republican Party wanted. They wanted cheap, compliant labor. And the Democrats want, and I think they're right, they want to give citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here and are coming into this country every day. That is their goal. And if they accomplish that, what does that mean? It means the Democratic party would control the House, the Senate, and the presidency probably for decades to come. So it's incumbent on the majority of the American people that do not favor and want the illegals to go home, all of them to go home. We need a leader, and many voted for Donald Trump mainly because he was so strong on reversing this invasion. Well, it hasn't been reversed. It's actually gotten worse. Now, do I blame Trump for it? No, he's getting no support, absolutely no support for the Democratic Party. Let me make that clear. They won't give him not even a dime. They won't even give him a penny. They want the invasion to continue because they look at it as it more and more Democratic voters. The more the merrier. That's what open borders means. It means citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. So if Trump runs, and I think he will run, on stopping the invasion and rolling it back, he wins. But the proof is in the pudding. He promised a 1,000-mile wall. He maybe will build 500 miles of it. Now that is impressive because there's only 350 miles currently of fence, human fence, that are keeping out the illegals. And you need roughly a total of new fence of about 1,500 miles. And if you had that, if he had built 1,500 miles to add to the already 350 miles, we would have had a completed border barrier. The only place there would be holes in it is in the wilderness where, and I always use the example, there along the Texas border, you have the Rio Grande River, and in certain parts, like the Big Bend country, there are cliffs on either side. It's like the Grand Canyon. It's very much like that, where you have to go down 1,000 feet, up 1,000 feet, and cross the river. And when you do that, you're in the middle of nowhere. So Trump is not delivered on the fence. But more importantly, and I'm just summarizing here, I know I'm repeating myself, but I definitely want to summarize. The bigger problem he has and the bigger promise he made by far was to deport and remove all the illegal aliens that are here. He hasn't delivered on that promise. Now, I will concede, and it's true, that early in his administration, they gave a priority to removing, deporting criminal illegal aliens. No one really objects to that because these are people with serious felony records. Murder, rapists, assault, you name it, either in their home country or in the United States. So yeah, I understand with limited resources, you go after the bad guys first, including the gang members that are distributing drugs. And that's important to say. The illegal immigration invasion problem is also a drug problem, a gang problem, a crime problem, and a national security issue for the simple reason many of the people that are crossing the U.S.-Mexican border are coming from other countries. It's not just Mexico and Central America and some from South America and the Caribbean. They're coming from around the world, but that's maybe 60%. The other 40% are coming here legally and overstaying their visa. So the president has a political problem. His supporters, and I'm not a supporter, I'm not a Democrat or Republican, I don't really know if I'm going to vote in 2020, but the issue that is a hot-button issue with me, I have several of them. You see, I'm what's called a classical liberal. I believe in limited government, and I believe in a non-interventionist foreign policy. The United States, ever since the end of World War II, has become an empire. The military-industrial complex, congressional complex, has grown and grown and grown, and as it's grown, not only are we the only superpower, we spend more money on armaments, military equipment than any other country in the world. You have to combine many countries just to equal what the United States spends each year on defense. Now, I'm for a strong defense, but I'm not for intervening in country after country after country. Because ultimately what happens is we are viewed as occupiers, and the local, whatever nation we intervene in, they soon view us as occupiers and the enemy, and they start killing your sons and daughters. Stay out. Mind our own business. And for most of the history of the United States, we did mind our own business. It's only been really since the end of World War II or the start of World War II that we're not minding our business. Now, if the United States is attacked, we will respond accordingly, and we will go to war, and it will be declared, and we will defeat you. But we have have people today in the government, Democrats and Republicans. It doesn't matter. That's the problem. Both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are big government parties. They're statist parties, and they believe in intervention. You get the same result. It doesn't matter if you vote Democrat or Republican. Invariably, you're going to start another war. And we're about ready to start another war with Iran. Now, they'll have to start it, and I think either by accident or deliberately, they will start one. The American people don't support a war in the Middle East. Let me echo a number of commentators. It would be Trump's war. Trump needs to be very, very careful why he has a lot of his advisors, starting with John Bolton, or what I call and other people call neocons. They're not new and they're not conservative. They're former Democrats that left the Democratic Party, really starting with the nomination of McGovern, but continuing. And they were mostly in the foreign policy area. They were primarily Jewish and they were pro-Israel. And they wanted the United States to intervene in the Middle East to protect Israel. Now, I've actually negotiated with Israel. I support Israel, but we need to put the interests of the United States first. So we need to be good allies, but we don't want to be fighting war after war in the Middle East. The American people are tired of it. But we have an establishment, both in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, that are interventionists. Now, some will say they're not, but many of them, they are. They call themselves liberals. They call themselves progressives. They call themselves, what's the term, compassionate conservatives. The neocons are not for Trump. Let me just tell you that. Most of them don't like Trump. They're the never-Trumpers. Now, I'm not a never-Trumper. I simply don't trust the guy. And one of the issues, the key issue with me, is immigration. And I'll be first one to say, if he delivered on his promises, I'd be voting for Trump, but he hasn't done it. Where's the 1,000-mile wall? And how many millions, tens of millions of illegals have you deported? The propaganda number is 11 to 12 million. It's been that for years. The real number is anywhere from 30 to 60 million. And I went over that in the last section. So the American people, especially those that voted for Trump, are expecting not only the wall to be completed, finished, and in my mind, that's a total of new wall, 1,500, including the 500 that Trump says is going to be done. Now, I can see where he can convince his supporters if he truly has finished 500 miles and can prove it, in other words, have a videotape, a campaign ad, then I think many of his supporters, and even me, would say, okay, give him a second term, he'll complete the rest of the wall. Well, the rest of the wall is another 1,000 miles. You need a total, in my estimation, of about 1,500 miles. Already built, we're 350 miles. I don't count the vehicle barriers at all. Now, I'm not dismissing them, because the point I was trying to make is you need a barrier, you need a road, vehicles, it needs to be patrolled, you need surveillance cameras, you need drones, you need sensors, because when someone tries to break in, you have to dispatch or send the U.S. Border Patrol to that point to detain or arrest, apprehend the people that are trying to break in. The problem in the past, and really continuing today, is most of them, when a vehicle pulls up, they will scatter in a lot of different directions. The only ones that don't scatter, that really go right up to the U.S. Border Patrol, and there are videos on YouTube showing this, we want asylum status. We're persecuted, and we want asylum status. We were in fear of our life. Those go to the U.S. Border Patrol, usually with children. And what happens? Within 21 days, they have to be released. And it's catch and release, exactly what the president describes it. And that's the problem with the law, because the United States government entered into an agreement that that's what they would do. It doesn't make any sense, because most of them never show up to their court date. And only a small percentage actually get refugee status. The overwhelming majority, I'm talking 85, 90%, if they show up at court, are sent back. This is a scam. It's a racket. And you have attorneys that are advising these people, and they know what to say. That's why in the past, the illegals would scatter. They wouldn't go to the U.S. Border Patrol pulling up. No. Now, what do? They walk right up to them. You know, I want to be a refugee. And that's why we have the problem we have today. In the last 3 months, we've had over 100,000 every single month, so we'll have over a million this year. And it's a flood of usually a mother and one or more children, or a mom and dad and one or more children. children. And instead of separating them, and let me make this key point, every single day in the United States, you have children being separated from their parents when they're convicted and sentenced to either jail or prison. That's what American citizens, that's the law as applied to American citizens. What the Democrats are doing is demagoguing, say, how dare you separate the children from their parents? Well, excuse me, they brought the kids, point one. And point two, we do this every day, and we do. But what do we do now? After 21 days, we release the parents and their kids, and for all practical purposes, nearly all of them never show up to the court date to hear a hearing as to whether or not they qualify for asylum status. So President Trump has a problem. He hasn't built his big, beautiful wall. He'll be lucky to complete 500 miles. But more importantly, and I think this is the reason why we heard this news story, that starting next week, they're going to deport and remove a lot of illegal aliens. They're finally going to round them up. Well, do the math. Whether it's 30 million or 60 million, whatever the number is, we're talking millions. How many in a year and a half can Trump remove and deport? I don't think it's going to be 2, 3, 4, 5 million. I think he'll be very, very lucky if he gets 500,000. And the problem is the Democratic Party wants no part of this. They want all the illegals to get citizenship. And once they get citizenship, they'll control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. That's their game plan. That's their strategy. They're not going to back off on this. They're not going to compromise. And by now, Donald Trump should have figured it out. I think he has figured it out. Expect nothing in the immigration area for the Democratic Party. They will fight you tooth and nail because they want all the illegals that are here to have citizenship. And the American people don't want it. That's why this is still a winning issue. Trump's problem is he hasn't delivered on his promises. I mean, completely delivered. He promised 1,000 miles. He's not even close. And he also promised to deport and remove all the illegal aliens. I don't think he's really begun. Now, I'm sure there are a couple of 10,000, probably, but we're talking millions because the majority of people come here, they come here to work. That is the reason why they're here. They want a better standard of living. Many of them in the past, even today, are single males. They work here for a couple of years. They send money back to Mexico if they're married to their family, or even if they're not married, to their family and loved ones. And hopefully, eventually, they go back to Mexico. About a third go back to Mexico. Two-thirds like it here and stay here. And then subsequently, their family comes here. The point is this. Once you reward illegal behavior, and that's exactly what Ronald Reagan, the Democrats and Republicans did in 1986. That has encouraged for the last 33 years more and more illegals to come to this country. You have to put a stop to it. And one place that you hear very little, but it's important, if illegal aliens can't find a job, not all of them, but many of them will go home wherever home is. Most are from Mexico and Central America. Will go home because they can't find a job. But that will not happen until the federal government, who's in charge of immigration, goes after the businesses, the employers that are employing these people. It's against the law to employ illegal aliens, knowingly employ illegal aliens, and that's the catch. We have E-Verify, but we have to make it mandatory. And that will, to some extent, alleviate the problem. But until the federal government, and you should see this every night on the news, in every city across the country, is arresting and not only sending back the illegal aliens that are working in various companies for various employers, are sent back, but also arrests the management and owners of these companies. That's not happening. That rarely, if ever, you see that happening. In Dallas, and I did a whole story on this, there was one raid like that, and it was a big employer. The reason the people are here is to work, and they're being employed all over the state, all over the United States. They're in Texas, they're in California, New York, New Jersey, and almost every state. And you have California as the worst offender. They're a sanctuary state. Their current governor, and he really wants to be a future presidential candidate, Newsom, and the California legislature want to give health care to young illegals. That's another incentive to come. Come to America. You get a job, you get welfare, you get your kids educated. You see, that's the problem. That's the difference between now and 100 years ago. We didn't have the welfare state. Now we have the wealth fair state. We have a fairly good education system. And yes, we have jobs. But what's never said, and this is why President Trump is president today, the American people deeply resent that not only they, but their children or grandchildren are having difficulties finding jobs because you have so many illegal aliens in the country. And in my mind, it's somewhere between 30 and 60 million. It's not 11 or 12 million. And many American people know it because they see it every day. I can take you right now to two places in Dallas, and I'm sure there are many more, where the illegals come to get jobs in the morning, day labor jobs. They're also working in retail stores, wherever, construction, you name it. They're everywhere. And the American people resent it because while they favor legal immigration, they don't think this is right because it's really the responsibility of the federal government to enforce the law. Donald Trump said he was going to do it. You know, we've seen reports of people entering the country illegally over 100,000 a month. Have you seen reports of over 100,000 every month being deported or removed? No, you haven't. And frankly, because there's so many, you would need reports of several hundred thousand every month for all 4 years to really make a dent in the problem, whatever the real number is. And to wrap up my I didn't have time to really address the Iran situation other than to make some very brief comments. The only thing the Islamic Republic of Iran regime understands is force. They're testing us. They have, ever since their revolution, they have been using proxies to kill American soldiers. Now, if they do anything directly at either our own military, we have a number of military installations in the Middle East. If they attack it, and we have the proof, Donald Trump will strike back. Donald Trump doesn't want a war. I don't want a war. The American people don't want a war. The Iranian people don't want a war. The problem is they have a totalitarian regime, a religious oligarchy with their Revolutionary Guard. And the people need to revolt, and I think they will, because guess what? The sanctions slowly, slowly are working. And then, yes, it's hurting the Iranian people, but who they blame? They blame the regime. And they're wasting a lot of money for nuclear weapons and missiles. I think you need to be just patience. But if they do anything that's you can prove beyond a reasonable doubt, I think President Trump will attack them, probably with a missile attack from wherever the source of the attack came from. But will that be enough? I think they're betting that that would be the response. You really need to go after their command and control structure and the Revolutionary Guard. But does President Trump want a war, start a war in an election year? I don't think so. Because if a war were to break out, most likely, well, you know what's going to happen. Oil prices will spike. It'll put the world into a recession because roughly 20-30% of the oil has to pass through that Strait of Hormuz. And on one side you have Iran, on the other side you have Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, United Emirates, Oman. And that will be the battleground. And it will cost a lot of lives. So it's really Iran that if they attack, if they're foolish enough or accidentally attack the United States, Trump will strike back. And who's being very mischievous here? They've had two tankers that apparently were attacked. And previous to that, about a month ago, four ships were attacked. We'll have patience, but eventually we're going to catch them red-handed, and then they're going to pay the price. Now, what I want to do now is play. Donald Trump is starting his campaign tonight in Orlando, Florida. This is the official start of his 2020 reelection campaign. And he's on his way right now to Orlando, Florida on Air Force One. But earlier today, as he's been doing fairly regularly, he took Marine One, the helicopter, to Joint Base Andrews to get on Air Force One. But before he did that, he answered a number of questions by the press, and I want to play that, and I'll interrupt it and give you my comments.
Mark Esper, who is a highly respected gentleman with a great career, West Point, Harvard, a tremendous talent, was just named acting Secretary of Defense. I think he'll do very well. He was Secretary of the Army. I got to know him very well, and he's an outstanding guy. Pat Shanahan, who is a wonderful person, is, as you know, going to take some time off for family matters. And I want to thank him for his service. He's a terrific person, and it's a difficult time for Pat, but he's going to take a little time off for family service and for working things out. And I think you know about it. You know very well about it.
Now, what he's talking about, and I don't even want to get into the details, the Washington Post ran an article, and it delved into marital problems, his former wife and his kid, and he just didn't want to go through that. And I respect that. My only criticism here, and is a criticism, they should have known about this way early in the doing the background check, because this is somewhat embarrassing. And this is not the first time we've had that problem. And, you know, early on, whoever's vetting these people should ask, is there anything in your background that would come up that would disqualify you, or you might not want to go forward? Please tell us now. Now, that might have disqualified them, or they might have said, okay, I think we can handle it. But this came up, and the Washington Post published an article, and the gentleman withdrew. He was submitted. He was going to be the next Secretary of Defense. He was acting Secretary of Defense. But today, he submitted his resignation. That's very unfortunate, but that's the media today. And that's about as much as I want to say.
But Mark Esper is going to be outstanding, and we look forward to working with him for a long period of time to come. Excuse me? No, I didn't. I didn't ask him to withdraw, but he walked in this morning. He said it's going to be a rough time for him because of obviously what happened. But I did not ask him to withdraw. He presented me with a letter this morning. That was his decision. I had heard about it yesterday for the first time. I didn't know about it. I had heard about it yesterday, and it's very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. No, we have a very good vetting process, and you take a look at our cabinet and our secretary is very good, but we have a great vetting process. But this is something that came up a little bit over the last short period of time, and as you know, Pat was acting, and so acting gives you much greater flexibility, a lot easier to do things. So that's the way it is. Too bad. April?
Mr. President, will you apologize for Central Park 5? They've been exonerated. There have been videos and movies shown about the case, and you came out with a full-page ad saying that they should die. They should have the death penalty.
Why do you bring that question up now? It's an interesting time to bring it up. You have people on both sides of that. They admitted their guilt. If you look at Linda Fairstein and if you look at some of the prosecutors, they think that the city should never have settled that case. So we'll leave it at that. No, not at all. I think, frankly, this could happen very quickly for Mark Esper. He's very experienced. He's been around all of the things that we're talking about for a very long period of time.
Why should Americans trust your administration to tell the truth about what's going on with Iran? If we go to war, why should we believe you if they want?
Well, we have Iran. We've been talking to various people on lots of different sides, and we'll see what happens with Iran. We're very well set. We're very well configured. We have a lot of things going on with Iran. I spoke with President Xi this morning of China. We'll be meeting at the G20, and I think that is working out pretty much as I anticipated it would. China very much wants to discuss the future, and so do we. So the relationship with President Xi is a very good one. We had a long talk this morning. Say it.
Immigration officials say they don't know anything about a planned roundup of millions of people next week.
Well, they know. They know. And they're going to start next week. And when people come into our country and they come in illegally, they have to go out. And everybody's seeing that. And as you know, Mexico has been doing a very good job the last 4 days. They haven't done that in 25 years. They're doing a very good job. I appreciate the job they're doing. Guatemala, likewise, is much different than it was under past administrations. So we'll see how that works out. With all of that being said, the Democrats should get together and solve the asylum problem, which is very easy to solve, and they should solve the loophole problem, also very easy to solve.
Yeah, it is easy to solve, but they have no incentive to solve it. They want as many illegals to come to the United States, because eventually they're going to give them all citizenship, and about at least two-thirds to three-fourths will vote Democrat, and once that happens, the Democratic Party wins the House, the Senate, and the presidency, probably for at least 4 or 5 decades. That's the game plan. That's the strategy, the long-term strategy, and that's why they keep saying, I'm for open borders. What they really are saying, I want to give citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. In other words, President Trump shouldn't. He can say this, but the Democrats are not going to do a thing. And that's why he's going to use immigration as the number one issue to get reelected. The problem he has is delivering on his promises, both in terms of the mileage, in terms of the wall, and the number of illegal aliens that he's deporting.
Well, this came up. This just came up. And I did the nomination. This just came up, and I think we did it very quickly. Pat Shanahan was acting, and we put Mark Esper in. Mark is highly experienced. I think he's going to fit in very easily. Well, let's see what he does. I can tell you that Draghi in EU, if you look at what's going on with the euro, they have a much different stance than our folks do. As you know, we did something today that was very dramatic. And frankly, it helped that part of the world. So we'll see what happens. They're going to be making an announcement pretty soon. So we'll see what happens. But I want to be given a level playing field. And so far, I haven't been.
President Trump is talking about the Federal Reserve is meeting, and everyone, not everyone, but Wall Street is expecting a cut in the federal funds target rate. In other words, an easy monetary policy. And Trump wants an easy monetary policy, and I think he's going to get it. The question, the debate is when and how many cuts in the federal funds rate, and that's they target that, and probably how much, probably at 25 basis points.
Yeah, I would be allowed to speak to him very easily. I speak to him anyway. Say it. Most likely, that's what I'm thinking about doing. Most likely, pretty soon.
And what's the next step for Iran?
We're looking at Iran. We have a lot of things going with Iran. We're very prepared for Iran. We'll see what happens. But let me just say this. We are very prepared. Regardless of what goes, we are very, very prepared. If you look at what's taken place, if you look at what they've done, if you look at, and I'm not just talking about over the last week, I'm talking about over a long period of years, they've been a nation of terror. Now we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. They are a much different country today than they were 2.5 years ago when I came into office. When President Obama signed that horrible deal, they were screaming death to America. I haven't been hearing that lately.
Are you here? Are you designated red line against Iran?
I have a meeting on that. Actually, this afternoon, before my speech, I'm going down, as you know, to a very big crowd down in Florida, Orlando. And before that, I'm having a meeting. So we'll be letting you know. Well, I have a very good relationship with President Xi, and we'll see what happens. I think we have a chance. I know that China wants to make a deal. They don't like the tariffs. A lot of companies are leaving China in order to avoid the tariffs. I have a very good relationship with President Xi. We'll see what happens. Say it. Well, we'll see what happens. I think the meeting might very well go well. And frankly, our people are starting to deal as of tomorrow. The teams are starting to deal. So we'll see. China would like to make the deal. We'd like to make the deal, but it has to be a good deal for everybody. They did. They changed their position. So I said, we're not going to do that.
They reneged on the language that they had previously agreed to. The key is going to be the enforcement. Whatever deal it is the enforcement mechanism. So first you have to get agreement on the language, any numbers that are involved, quantities that are involved. But more importantly, if any party breaches the agreement, how do you remedy that breach? And this is a bilateral agreement, which I favor bilateral agreements, reciprocal bilateral trade agreements. None of these multilateral many nations. And the reason for that is if one nation breaks the deal, doesn't live up to its commitments, then you reopen it. And what Trump would do is impose tariffs. This is long overdue. The Chinese Communist Party has taken advantage of the United States and its people, and as a result, you had millions of jobs going to China and thousands of factories closing in the United States. Trump wants to stop that, and he wants to have as close as possible to have balanced trade. The Chinese Communists have been stealing our property and taking advantage of the United States with unfair non-tariff barriers to trade. And it's way out of whack. You can look at the numbers. I've had many shows on this. Yeah, both parties need to come to an agreement, but I'm with Trump. If it doesn't make sense, don't do it. Walk away. And that's the hardest thing to do. And that was Donald Trump. He's headed to Marine One. By now, he's on Air Force One, probably approaching Orlando, Florida, and he will have a rally giving a speech. I will be covering it tomorrow in its entirety, and I will give you my commentary of it. I'm sure it's going to be well attended. The estimates are there'll be 50,000 plus. Unlike the attendance at some of these Democratic candidates, including Biden, where you have either a few people or at most a few hundred, not 50,000. And that is a measure of the enthusiasm still of the Trump supporters. Now, he is president of the United States. I don't care who the president of the United States is. He does draw a crowd and he does draw the press. But if you look at, if it's strictly based on number of attendees at rallies, Trump looks like he's going to win by a landslide. I don't think so, because I listen to a lot of talk radio and many of his supporters are not happy with the situation in the immigration area. They aren't. You know, they say, where's the wall or the barrier? Where are the deportations and removals of all the illegals? They're not seeing it. What they're seeing is just the reverse. More and more illegals flooding in. Seeing it in Texas. That's one of the favorite places to cross over. There are many spots, but Texas is one of them. So Donald Trump has to do some, let's say, fence mending. He has to be aggressive. You know, many are asking, well, wait a minute. He's been president 2.5 years, and what has he accomplished? The problem was, yes, the first 2 years, the Republicans controlled the House, the Senate, and the presidency. But once they lost the House to the Democrats, we have gridlock. That makes it, I would say, almost impossible to do much, if anything, on immigration. Democrats are not going to budge because they see it as those are future voters, and if we win the House, the Senate, and the presidency, we will give them citizenship. So they're not going to help President Trump, and President Trump knows this. He lost 2 years of time. He didn't press to get as much funding as he could, and ladies and gentlemen, to do a complete barrier cost probably in the neighborhood of $30 billion. I've added up the numbers. He has maybe $9 to $10 billion at most. So he can only build a third of it. And guess what? That's about 500 miles. If you're going to do a complete border barrier, you need an additional 1,500 miles. He has enough money to maybe do 500 miles. And then we get to the more important. What has he done in terms of deporting and removing all the illegals that are here? The answer is not very much. Now, what does he need to do? He needs to start deporting at least 1 million, if not 2 million a year for the next, as long as he's president. If he did that, he would win in a landslide, but he's not doing it. Again, it's money. It's money. And how do you process these people? So we'll hear more tomorrow. I'm sure immigration will be definitely one of the topics covered, as will the Iran situation. The American people don't want war. What they want is to send all the illegals home. Send them home. Send them home. That used to be the chant when he was a candidate for president. And he knows that the Department of Labor unemployment statistics, it's a political number. It's not real. There are somewhere between 20 and 30 million Americans that want a good-paying full-time job and don't have it. Either they're discouraged, or they're working one or more part-time jobs, or they're living off their savings in retirement. There's plenty of American citizens can do all the work that's available in the United States. So he needs to get under 3%, if not 2%, to get this economy moving. We need growth rates of 4 or 5%. And this is my last point. What is his real Achilles heel? You need high growth rates, and you're not going to get high growth rates as long as government in general and the federal government in particular are taking more and more resources. In other words, you need to downsize the federal government, balance the budget, and cut and reform the tax system. We haven't had fundamental tax reform. We still have the same income tax system that we've had since 1914. Oh, yeah, there have been a lot of changes, but it's an income tax-based system. It's not based on consumption. And many, many Americans, Democrats and Republicans, were looking forward to a fair tax. Well, Donald Trump hasn't come out for that. The biggest problem that the middle class, lower income people have, the biggest tax they pay today is not personal income taxes. It's payroll taxes. And because they lost control of the House, you're not going to get tax reform. He's not going to get anything on immigration in terms of money to build a barrier or to deport, remove the millions that are here. And he's not going to get anything in terms of fundamental tax reform. And what do Democrats want? They want bigger and bigger government. They want higher taxes. Really, the Democratic Party and its candidate, whoever it is, it should be easy to beat. The key is, and Donald Trump understands this, you made promises. The American people expect results. They expect promises made, promises kept. But the biggest promise has not been kept. So he better talk about it, and we'll see how the crowd reacts. Remember, most of them are Trump supporters, and that can be Republicans, independents, and Democrats. What President Trump has to do in this campaign is convince independents, people that are neither Democrat nor Republican, that's where I'm at, as well as Democrats and Republicans, that he will keep his promise, and he needs to build as many miles of that border barrier as he can by Election Day, and he needs to deport and remove as many illegals as he can by Election Day. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.